Father, we do bless you this morning, and we praise you for all that you have accomplished and are accomplishing in us. We are always thankful and are thankful and grateful for the opportunity to gather together with those of like mind to worship and to praise you, and to know that your will is be accomplished in our lives. We bless you, Father. Amen. You know, one of the things that we understand is that Jesus on the cross of Calvary said, "It is finished." Salvation was finished. God was in Christ, not keeping a record of our sins. He was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Salvation's work was finished at the cross. Sin was taken care of at the cross. Death was abolished at the cross, the resurrection. And man has, in his religion, has tried through all the centuries to bring about laws or regulations or something to be able to change individuals into what they see as a child of God. And yet we know with all the attempts that man has made to bring change, change has never come. I mean, churches have all kinds of rules and regulations and on how to be there and how to live, and yet they split, they argue, they fuss, they hold grudges, they talk against each other, and there's no unconditional love there. And we come to the point where we understand that man cannot change himself. Change has to come from the Spirit, from God, and from being in His presence. I mean, if we could change ourselves, this world would be a whole different place. Because all of God's children on this earth would be able to change who they are and what they are. But it's in His presence that we're changed. In John 15 and verse 4, He said, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in Me." The word in the Greek there, to abide, means to remain, to not leave, to continue to be present. And I was thinking, you know, all of us have our lives that we have to do and to be a part of. And He said, if you abide, if you remain in My presence. The word that came to me was an attitude. We've talked about an attitude of prayer, being where it says pray without ceasing. But it is our continuous consciousness that God is with us, that God is dwelling in us, that we are His dwelling place. It is the fact that we have left the sin consciousness and entered into God consciousness, and that being in God consciousness, we are always aware that He is dwelling within us, that He is closer than the breath that we breathe. And we know that what God has done in us and the revelations that He has given us, and the pathway that He has brought us along as we have been in His presence, causing us to understand and see the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God, and to understand that we cannot do it within ourselves. Change comes from God. The Word says, as we behold Him, in His presence, we are transformed, metamorphosed into the same image. 1 John said that that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. God's got a people on the earth today And God is doing a work in a people on the earth today that has never been done before. We believe then and know that He is preparing a people for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we look at the life of Jesus, who is an example for us, and we see that He was in total trust of His Father. He did what He said, what He heard Him say, and He did what God showed Him. I mean, he was in total obedience to His Father. And yet we even see God in Christ going into the mountain alone many times to pray. And you know, the thing is that, like I say, if we could change who we are, we often talk about this flesh and all that. Paul said it so wonderfully in Romans 7. The things that I would do, I do not. And the things that I would not do, those are the things that I do. But then in verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. The difference there is that as you realize that God does not keep a record, and that sin was taken care of at the cross, there is no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, in the presence of God. And then in Psalms 27:4, and I'm just going to read this from the Amplified Bible. David said, one thing have I desired, one thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in His temple. And verse 5 says, for in the day of trouble He will hide me in His shelter, in His secret place of His tent He will hide me, He will set me high on a rock. Now the word dwell there means to remain, to set, to abide, or to set down, or to stay. You know, the word says, wait on the Lord. And Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles. You know, it's in His presence that the fruit of the Spirit is produced within us. We cannot produce unconditional love. We cannot produce joy. We cannot produce peace, long-suffering, and all of the fruits of the Spirit. But He says, if you abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch can do nothing of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you do it except you abide in Me. In the first part of Ephesians, Paul, in his prayer for the church, that you may know God. You know, that was the theme of it, to know Him. You know, to know someone is to come to trust them. You know, in the book of Ruth, Ruth and Naomi, there was a trust there. When she said, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. They were going to a strange place that she had not gone before, but she knew Ruth. The woman coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved, had seen through the wilderness experience that her beloved was trustworthy. And she leaned upon her beloved. And I tell you that it is, we are have no ability to bring spiritual change to ourselves. And David, here in this psalm, he says, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek, inquire, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence, all the days of my life. And David also wrote that beautiful Psalm 23. And in Psalms 23 and verse 6, the last verse of that, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house or presence of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. His presence. In His presence brings love, joy, and peace. And it is being conscious of the indwelling Christ that is within us. We are to be revealed as the sons of God in the earth. That says Jesus was the first and only begotten Son of God, uniquely begotten Son of God. We as God's sons are to be unveiled in the earth to carry on the work of the Father. And, you know, they probably still have it, but, you know, years ago, the way a young man would learn his trade was an apprenticeship. He would work with a master, carpenter or a silversmith or goldsmith or whatever, and go through years of experience in apprenticeship. He knew the job that that master did when he was through his apprenticeship. Well, the fact of the matter is that God says that when the manifestation of God's sons, there'll be the curse, the bondage, all will be broken. God is not going to have a son in this earth that is not in His image and in His likeness. And the only way we come into His image and into His likeness is getting to know Him as He is. The only way to trust Him, that He won't put you on a branch and saw it off, is to get to know Him in His presence. Paul, it was important to Paul to know Him. You know, I went to Ephesians, the third chapter, and I'm not going to read all this, but in the fifth verse of Ephesians 3, Paul gives his credentials of what he was. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as church in the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Now, Paul was the ideal temple member of his day. He had all of the credentials. Everything. He met the circumcision law. He was a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew. And he was a Pharisee. And as far as the law went, he was blameless. That's quite something. People say, well, he was just fine. He was fine, religious. And that's why the church says, look, they go to church every Sunday. They pay their tithes. They participate. But then their tongue is wagging. They're destroying people with their gossip or their tongue. And they hold grudges. And they have false precepts of God. You see, there was a change happening in Paul's day. Jesus had been crucified. The New Testament church was being established in the earth in that hour. It was a transition from law into grace. And Paul was the man that was going to pen most of the books of the New Testament. And God knew, called him, proposed him before the foundation of the world. And on the road to Damascus, he met God. And all of these things, he had his credentials. And in verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." That's Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry. It's Philippians chapter 3. I'm sorry if I said Ephesians. All of those things that were gained to Paul, he counted them loss. And in verse 8, listen to what he says. "Yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, to know Him is to be like Him. Israel saw God's acts, but Moses knew God's way, because Moses had an intimate relationship with God. He knew the ways of God. Israel only saw the acts of God. And we are being changed and transformed into His image. As manifested sons, each one of us will be speaking forth God's word into this earth to set creation free from the bondage and the curse that they're under. And that's what it tells us in Romans 8. But in verse 9 he says, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is after the law." Now remember, he was blameless. When it came to the law, he was blameless. He kept the law. But here he says, "Not having mine own righteousness, which is after the law, but that which is through Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then verse 10, where I wanted to get to. That great apostle, who on the road to Damascus came to know God, transformed instantly. From breathing out threatenings and everything he could against those that named the name of Christ. This great apostle who had A1 credentials, a model temple goer. I mean, he could probably have told everybody, "Look at me for what I do. I'm just there." But in verse 10 he says, "That I may know Him." After all of his experiences that he had walked with God and moved with God and ministered, he said, "That I may know Him." That was his desire. That was the prayer in Ephesians 1 for the church, that we may know Him. And you know, many, many Christians are in the religious system today only know God through what their church or denomination or their pastor has taught them. And they only function in that area. But to know Him as He is to live and to dwell in His presence. And to, as David said over here in the other verse, that to dwell all the days of my, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate and consider and inquire in His temple. To meditate, to consider, and to inquire in His temple. This great apostle, that I may, you know, that's something when you think about who he was. His desire was to know him. And he wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection from the dead. And verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended in Christ. You know, where we have come from and where we are today, what God has brought in us, the revelation of His Word and the unveiling of where we are, is so different from where we came from. And we know and understand that God has His purpose for our lives. That He proposed out before the foundation of the world that this was the pathway that we were to walk in. That we have been apprehended of God for a work and for a purpose in this earth. And yet the Bible says that he that began the good work is going to complete it. That is the confidence that we have in this hour. We long to see the reality of the things that we have seen in the Spirit. I mean, you think of Isaiah looking down the long corridor of history and seeing the birth of a son, but he never lived to see it. We see the manifestation of God's sons. In the Spirit, we see creation being set free. And our hearts long to see that. But then we hear the word saith, wait on the Lord. But they that wait on the Lord. To have the consciousness of His presence ever within us. To behold Him, to look into His face, and to behold Him. We are being changed, transformed into the same image. God has wonderful things in store for His people. There are people who would tell you that they have already been manifested. But there is not the testimony nor the evidence to support what they say. Because at that day of manifestation, those God's people will put on immortality. This corruptible will be made incorruptible, and this mortal will be made immortal. And man cannot produce that within himself. We look at Jesus and we see the humility that he had, we see the love that he had, we see the compassion that he had, we see the mercy that he had. He was not condemning, he was not judgmental. And even when confronted with the woman taken in adultery, said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And we see him, even just read about him, and see who he was, and know that we are becoming the same. That he was an expression of God in the earth, and that God is bringing us to a place of being an expression of himself in the earth. And when it says in his image and in his likeness, which we were created, that's what it means. It doesn't mean that we're going to have the ambition to set up our own ministry or to put out our own shingle or our own evangelistic association. What it does mean is that, like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There was no division between him and God. And when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Because you're in the same image and in the same likeness. And what he is changing in this hour is that which is between our two ears. Coming into the place of being able to trust him and trust what he says. I know Jesus was so talked about the shepherd and the sheep and how we hear his voice and we know his voice. And in this day when there's so many voices, so many voices, not only the religious voices in the earth today, but many other voices, it behooves us to know the voice of the Lord and to follow him. Because only following him and listening to his voice is going to bring the transformation in our lives. God is good. His plans for us is good. Wonderful. And it's glorious to be able to even consider what he has desired for you and I. And to dwell in his presence, that was the prayer of David. To know him was the prayer of Paul. To become like him, that is our desire. And in his presence, we become to love him more. We become to trust him more. In his presence, faith grows. We put on the fruits of the Spirit. His will is being done in earth. And you and I cannot hasten that day, or we cannot make that day lag behind. But what we can do is dwell in the consciousness of his presence day by day and allow him to do the change within us that needs to be done, that he might see the gold pure and see his image in us. Praise God. Amen.